Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed and thankful that you are here to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our risen and coming Christ this morning. Just to highlight a couple brief announcements before we begin our time of praise and worship, on the back of your bulletin, you will notice that Mondays from 7 to 8:30, we will be having a Marriage on the Rock study being led by John and Julie Eastep. They had their welcoming class last Monday. It's not too late to get plugged into that. If you are dating, engaged to be married, or married for, you know, quite some time, you are welcome to be part of that study. Sometimes it's not what we receive, but sometimes in those studies, it's what we can give through our experience. And so if you find yourself being married for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe God would have you speak to a young couple the wisdom that you have learned over the years. Also, please note that on Thursday, October the 27th, right here at Trinity, we will be having our Church Charge Conference, and we would like to invite all the members of Trinity United Methodist Church to come and take part in that important meeting. And one last announcement, next Sunday, October the 11th, if you are a member and you feel God leading you to serve on the lead team, please get the application from the table in the fellowship hall and get that turned in to me by next Sunday, October the 11th. If you would, bow your heads and your hearts and let's go before the Lord as we open this time of praise and worship of our King. Heavenly Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your forgiveness. Father, we especially thank you for this opportunity to just set this time aside to praise you, to worship you, to extol your goodness. And Jesus, may you find what is done here, everything that is said and sung and everything that is done to be pleasing as a fragrant aroma unto you, as an offering unto your goodness. And Lord, so we commit this service into your care. We ask that you would consecrate it and sanctify it and set it aside for your glory and only your glory. And above all, may you meet with us. May your Holy Spirit just move our hearts and open our minds and impact our feet in the way that we travel. And so, Father God, we love you. We praise you and we honor you. We pray all this in the wonderful and the mighty and the gracious name of our risen Savior Jesus and our coming King Jesus and our loving Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. I just tell you a really quick story. As I was working this week, I got a list of goals given to me from my boss. He's like, you're going to get all this. And it was production goals because I work in the bank, right? Well, this lady walked by my office, and I'm thinking, just be still in the Lord. He's going to be with you. Guess what she did? She came to my office. She applied for a loan. And then when she left, she says, I just was listening to God. He told me to come in here. Amen. Isn't God good? He gives us abundance. As we stand and we get ready to praise the Lord, let's turn to your neighbor and say, I have abundant life with God.
This morning's reading from God's Word is found in the Gospel of John. Chapter 10, we will be reading the first 10 verses, verses 1 through 10. And if you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 1,666. I will be reading from the New King James Version. And so follow along as we listen to a reading from the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he or she will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, said Jesus, that they may have life, and not just any life, and that they may have it more abundantly. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give a portion of what God has blessed us with.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we are starting a new series titled The Abundant Life. And I've got to confess that with my many conversations that I have with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I am actually astonished and shocked that the words of Jesus are more of a rarity than they are the norm. Jesus, we just heard in the Gospel of John, verse 10 of chapter 10, said that he came so that you and I would have life and life to the full, life and abundant life. Not just this meager, ho-hum life, but this life that is overflowing, this life that is bountiful joy. And I'm shocked that more is true of the aforementioned that happens in people's lives is their joy is stolen, their hope is killed, and then their testimony eventually is destroyed. So this week, I want to just give us a prescription as to how you and I can experience, and over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to have abundant things, and this week we're going to talk about what we need to do to have abundant faith. I really want to just break it down for all of us. The last several weeks, I feel that, you know, we have been challenged in such a way that maybe it's time to step back a little bit and just give us a one prescription of what we can apply in our life. This week, we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And if you have your Bibles, I want to share with you an account. Now, Jesus and his disciples had been traveling and ministering. And we were specifically going to look at verses 38 through 42. Many of you will recognize this account as being the account of Mary and Martha. And now, the way that I remember this is we need to have more Mary and less Martha in our lives. And I will explain that as we go forward. So if you have your Bibles, follow along. Now it happened, as they went, he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. I want us to notice three things. First, we need to notice the heart of God. Now, Jesus, he chose to enter into Martha's house. He and his disciples were traveling about and ministering, and he chose to take respite. And he chose to enter into her house and say, here I am, I want to commune with you. And we need to not miss that. We need to see that this is the heart of God. For God is the one who seeks to relate to you and to me. Don't miss that. Jesus could have went anywhere. He had often gone up to the mountain to pray all by himself. He often would withdraw away from the crowds to different places. The Mount of Olives was one. Don't miss the intentionality of God. And his heart is that he wants to relate to you and to me. He is the one who decides, and he decided that he will relate to you and to me on your turf. This is the heart of God, friends. For Jesus left heaven, came to earth. This is where we reside. albeit for just a temporary moment. Our life is our life is but a vapor. But, did you ever get tongue-tied? Our life is a vapor. And so, yes, our residence, we are pilgrims, we're aliens, we're sojourners just passing through this world. But God's heart is that he would relate to you and to me here. But notice the place that he determines where he will commune with you and me. And that's the first thing that we need to notice, the place. And friends, it's in our heart. It's not in what we do. The contrast here is that we need more Mary and we need less Martha in our life. And I'm going to, allow us to reverse here 3 years ago when I walked into this place, into Trinity United Methodist Church. And if I could just be so bold and so brash, there was a whole lot of Martha going on. There wasn't a whole lot of Mary happening here. Now, when we look at the prescription of Jesus, who he says to Martha, and don't get me wrong, we've all been there, and we've all been Marthas, and have we not gone to God and said, hey, Lord, don't you see my brother or sister? Don't you see what they're doing or not doing? We don't go to them. We go to Christ. And God says, hey, I want to meet you in your heart. And so, friends, the first thing that we need to do after we have had that undivided heart that we talked about last week, we need to stop. We have to stop running. We must stop running here and there, and we have to quit. We've got to stop. I believe that when Jesus looked at Martha and said, Martha, 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 he was saying, hey, yo, Martha, look, listen. You were troubled and you were weary over many things, and these things don't even matter anything. And I'm going to share a quote with you out of the book by C.S. Lewis. And the book's title is The Screwtape Letters. And the whole book is a fiction book about how the enemy seeks to distract us from doing what God's will is. Now listen to this. The game is to have them all running about with fire extinguishers when there is a flood, and all crowding to that same side of the boat, which is already nearly sinking. Let that sink in. You see, I really believe, as in the book Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, the further description of what the enemy tries to do is, if he can't get you to stop believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if he can't get you to doubt, then he will get you to be distracted in this life and be working over here when God is saying, I want you to work here. And he will get you distracted to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, when God is saying, I want you to do this. We've been there. Trinity United Methodist Church has been there. I personally have been there. So what are we to do? We recognize the heart of God, that he yearns to commune with you and me. He chose where he would meet with you and me on our turf and the place, and that's in your heart and my heart. But the second thing we need to do after we stop running, we stop trying to achieve something that only Christ achieved for us. We see the connection of God. If we could have this put up here on the screen. The connection of God. We have to notice that Jesus wants us to embrace the posture of sitting at his feet. And notice that he wants us to embrace that posture of sitting at his feet. He acknowledges that there is a difference between serving and sitting. Serving must always follow sitting, friends. And so we need to know that he does love us. But after we stop running, we've got to sit. Now you might say, well, how do I do this? I'm going to share with you how you do it. You get out your iPhone or your smartphone, or you get out your paper calendar, and you write down on your calendar every day an appointment with God. And what that really will take is probably you and me getting up an extra 15 minutes earlier and saying, before my feet hit the ground, before I hit this day running, I'm going to spend 15 minutes with Jesus. And I guarantee you, and that is an absolute statement, I guarantee you, your eyes will be changed, your day will be changed, where you serve, how you involve yourself, what you engage yourself in will take on a whole different manner rather than you just running out the door. So you stop running. You say, hey, here's the line in the sand. I am done. I'm not going to run like a crazy person anymore. And then I am going to sit at God's feet. I am going to sit at his feet for 15 minutes. And then I'm going to pray and read his word. And I am going to commune with him. Friends, this is the essence of Mary and Martha. This is the message of Jesus for you and for me. It's his message for us. He's saying, stop. But then he's saying, I want to relate to you. So sit and listen. For friends, if we don't sit at his feet, then we are operating out of our own self. We're operating out of our own strength, our power, and our own ability. And there again, we can get pulled into, distracted, running around with fire extinguishers when we got a flood over here. And God the Father is saying, hey, I want you to be bailing water in this situation. And yet the enemy is saying, hey, here's a fire extinguisher. Oh, that looks good. So we run here. Don't be pulled into that. Stop and sit. And the third thing that we can notice is the call of God. And the call of God, friends, is that Jesus wants all believers to experience his purpose. And that's the essence of what God the Father wants for you and for me. Jesus didn't want Martha to be running like a crazy person, doing this, doing that, serving this, preparing this. I mean, if he really wanted a meal, he had just fed the 4,000 or the 5,000. He could have made his own meal. He didn't need Martha to prepare a meal for him. He wanted their heart. He wanted to commune with them. And therefore, he said to Martha, and the heart of God is this, Martha, Martha, you could put your own name in that. Max, Max. And don't think that God hasn't said that to me many times, because he has. He said, yo, what are you doing? Quit running. Sit at my feet. But listen to what he says to Martha. Mary has chosen the most needful thing, the most necessary thing, the most important thing. I don't care how you translate it. It's all translated appropriately in those three ways. Mary has chosen that very thing that is the most necessary. Let that sink in. Preparing over here, meeting this person here, going to lunch with that person there. And God says, stop and sit. This is the most important thing. This is the only necessary thing. I want you to commune with me, is what Jesus is saying. I want you to connect with me. In our world, we get on this treadmill and we go. And we go, and we go, and we go, and we go. And the temptation is to run out the door before we've met with the one that we serve, before we have allowed him to move our heart, to touch our hearts, to really impact our hearts. And when we run out the door, we're jaded in what we see. We don't see what God sees. It's only when we stop and say, hey, this is going to change tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, I normally get up at this time. I'm getting up 15 minutes early. And you know what? I'm so committed to it that it's going to make it on my calendar. If you really want to change, if you really want to be the man and the woman that God wants you to be, put it on your calendar. Place it on your calendar. Start there. We put all kinds of other appointments on our calendar, and yet we don't put our time with Jesus, the risen Christ, on our calendar. I believe, personally, that if you and I put our time with God on our calendar, that will become an important thing. It will prioritize things for us, and it will say, God is first, all this is second, but moreover, we won't be running around with a fire extinguisher when there's a flood over here. We will have the perspective. We will have God's purpose, not your own purpose, not your own agenda, not your own desire, not your own wants. You will be serving God in the manner that he says to serve, because you will have met with him first. And so the call of God, friends, is that Jesus calls the church to receive. He calls you and me to receive before we serve. He calls you and me to give us and to provide and to receive what he wants to provide for us. And that's the most necessary thing. It's only what he can give. It's not about time. It's not about talents. It's not about treasures. It's not about what we do. It's about our hearts, friends. In a few moments, we're going to meet around the Lord's table and take communion. And I challenge you all that on this Communion Sunday, which is World Communion Sunday, that as we unite with many other brothers and sisters all around the world at the Lord's table, the table of mercy, the table of forgiveness, the table of grace, I challenge all of us to say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to stop running on this treadmill, and I'm going to sit at your feet in a consistent time each and every day. But I'm not going to stay there. Then I'm going to serve as you lead. And that's the call of God, friends, is he calls us to experience the place and the posture and the purpose of meeting with him. And friends, Jesus promises to not take away what is necessary. And don't miss that. You see, this is the essential thing. He says to Martha, 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 Mary has chosen the most needful thing. And then the promise is this. He's not going to remove it from you or me. He wasn't going to take it away from Mary. Let that sink in. 15 minutes a day. Whatever time God places on your heart, that will be time that he will give to you for the rest of your life. He will change you. He will mold you. He will change you in ways that you can't comprehend. He will strengthen you. He will comfort you. He will bless you with his grace and his mercy and his honor. And he will give you that. And he will say, no, it's what's necessary for you. It's what you need. And friends, this is the abundant faith. See, the abundant faith is not what we do. The abundant faith is who we are. There's a huge distinction there. The abundant faith is not the person that says, hey, I'm selling everything because I think God told me to do that. The abundant faith is who you are when no one's looking. The abundant faith bears fruit in the character of your soul. The abundant faith is what happens when you're in your prayer closet and you are meeting with the Almighty, the Eternal One, the God who inhabits eternity. That's the abundant faith. That's where your faith is grown. It's not in what you do. Yes, serving has a place, but sitting always precedes serving. Hear that. You must stop. You must sit, and then you must serve. You see, I believe there's an illness in the church today. And it goes like this, that we say, you know what, this is a great thing, this is a great cause, and I'm going to get involved in this, and I'm going to do it. And God's saying, whoa, 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 this isn't what I even wanted you to do. So we must stop. We must sit. And our serving of Christ our Lord must be a result of us stopping and sitting at Jesus' feet. Please hear that. I am not saying to stay at Jesus' feet. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let your relationship with Christ be so much the generating force of how God leads you to serve him in the areas, in the manner. And when we do that, you will not be spiritually exhausted. You will not be worn out. You will be energized. You will be rejuvenated. You will have that abundant faith that says, hey, I am here to serve you, Lord. And because of that, that's where your faith will shine. That's where my faith will shine. And so as we meet around the communion table this morning, may we all check our hearts and may we stop. May we sit at Jesus' feet and then may we serve as he leads us to serve. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your words to Mary and Martha. We thank you, O Heavenly Jesus, for your mercy, for your grace, for your peace, and for your truth. And Lord Jesus, may you give us the courage to assess our hearts. May your Holy Spirit just convict us where we need to be convicted. And Jesus, may we stop the madness. May we stop where we are running and you're not even asking us to serve or to be involved there. May we commit to a daily time of sitting at your feet where the goodness of your Holy Spirit can wash over us. Your mercy can flood our soul, and the peace that surpasses all understanding can be the anchor for our life. May your strength be our strength. And may we truly experience that one thing that is the most necessary, that only you can provide and only you can give. And so, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We bless you, O Father. We honor you, O Jesus. And may we serve you out of that necessary thing, what you provide to us as we sit at your feet. We thank you for the bread and the cup. We thank you for the opportunity to meet around your table this World Communion Sunday. May you be blessed and may we be blessed. May we sense your holy presence. Father, we thank you for the bread. We ask that you would bless it, which it represents your body that was broken for us. And you took that so we could receive the wholeness that only you provide. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cup. The blood of Christ, our Savior, of which it represents, and the blood of not any covenant, but the new covenant, the remission of sins for which it paid for, our sins. So, Lord Jesus, may you bless the cup. We thank you now. May you meet with us this day. In the holy name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We have an open communion table here. If you are not a member, we invite all who are professing believers in Jesus Christ to come forward and partake in the elements of the bread and cup. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then likewise, Jesus then took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. Take, drink in remembrance of me." As God's Spirit leads, may you come, may you enjoy, and may you partake in the elements of the bread and cup. As we close with the final song here this morning, I would like to just remind us all that we at Trinity, we believe in, as it's written in the book of James, if any of you are ill or you have any need, to come and allow the elders to anoint you with oil and have them pray over you. And so if you have a need today, we would like to invite you to come forward and meet us. We have individuals here that would love to pray with you and to pray over you and anoint you. So if you would, please stand as we sing this last song. And if you are being led by the Spirit of God, won't you please come?
This is my desire to you.
Depart here this morning. May you and I, may we be courageous enough to determine the type of men and women of faith that we want to be. And may we do that in the manner of scheduling time with our risen Savior, Lord and Jesus Christ, the coming King. And may that courage and that discipline and that diligence of spending time with Him, may it truly change your heart. And may you experience the peace, the love, and the forgiveness and the truth that only come from God, which is the truly the necessary thing for your life and mine. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go in the name of Christ and in the peace of Christ, in the love of Christ, and experience His forgiveness of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen.